Okay, so we're on Nuncha today. It's getting 58A. So I'll begin on the bottom line on Nun Zayin Beis, page 114, the bottom line, Nun Zayin Beis. So Amar Rabba Baruch Hanan of Yochanan, Arba Im Sa'ak, Tfilin Nimsu Barashe, Haruki Beitar. So he says that they found 40 Sa'a of Tfilin. Tfilin are the batim of Tfilin. Now, 40 Sa'a, one Sa'a is, we know from mikvahs, right? A Sa'a is an Amma by an Amma by three amot, so 40 sa would be, and so that's three cubic feet would be a sa, so 40 sa would be 120 cubic feet. But that's how many, batim of tefillin they found on the heads of the Haruge Beitar. But Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Shmuel are shlosh kupot shlar by imar v'imsa. Rabbi Yana, the son of Rabbi Shmuel, said no, it was three boxes each one of 40 sa, so 120 sa. The first opinion says 40 sa'a, same as 120 sa'a. And the Brisa we learn was 40 boxes, each one of three sa'a, also 120. So in other words, so the basic idea is we have machloket, was it 40 sa'a of tefillin that they found of batim or 120 sa'a? So the Gemara says below plague, there's no machloket between the two mesorot, hadresha, hadidra'a. One is talking about the tefillin shel Rosh, one is talking about the tefillin shel Yad. Now, the Gemara takes it that the tefillin shel Rosh would be larger than the tefillin shel Yad. That's the way the Malach of Rashi has. That the tefillin shel Rosh would be larger than the tefillin shel Yad. We know the tefillin shel Rosh has got four batim, and the tefillin shel Yad has got one bayim. So we take it that it's like three times as large. So it's not four times as large. Rashi says the tefillin shel Yad, one big parsha, but three times as large. So according to this pshat that we were going, it would come out that the first statement, this is 40 sa'a, is talking about tefillin shel Yad. And the other two statements saying 120 sa'a are talking about tefillin shel Rosh. The difficulty with this is, though, that if you remember, the fourth one said on the top line, it says, Arba'im sa'ak tefillin su barashei harugei beitar, found on the heads of those from Beitar. And that statement we're saying is talking about the tefillin shel Yad. And this is Rashei, so it's not working out so well. So the article said it could be that like they're going to war, in other words, they're wearing tefillin the whole day, they're going to war. So they're taking off the tefillin shel Yad and putting it on the shel Rosh, and then the Rosh temporarily, something like that. But there's a charifas from the Gra on this. This is what the Gra has. So anyway, so the Maharam Shif notes a difficulty. He asks, how can the Gra suggest that Rabba Bar Bar Khan was giving the measure of tefillin shel Yad that were found when he stresses 40 suds tefillin were found on heads of victims. Moreover, the Rashash finds it difficult to believe that the boxes of their tefillin shel Rosh were 200% larger than their shel Yad. In other words, he means it's like three times as large. In other words, our tefillin, we make it both the same. So he's surprised that they're alleged, ostensibly, according to this pshat, the tefillin shel Rosh is like three times large. Even though shel Rosh boxes are made with four compartments, they're usually not much larger than shel Yad boxes. The Vilna Gaon suggests an alternate pshat. He explains that there were a number of victims who were wearing only the tefillin shel Yad. The proper order of donning and removing tefillin is to don the tefillin shel Yad first and to remove the tefillin shel Rosh and remove the tefillin shel Rosh first. Thus, tefillin-bearing victims can be divided into three groups. A, those who are in the process of donning tefillin and wearing only shel Yad. So some people, Elam is the enemy is coming in. So a whole bunch of people just wearing the tefillin shel Yad. Then some people wearing shel Yad and shel Rosh. And the third is those who are in the process of removing their tefillin and move the tefillin shel Rosh, but not the shel Yad. So Rabba Bar Bar Chana, who said that the 40 sa'a of tefillin boxes were found on the heads of the victims, the different shot, he's referring to tefillin shel Rosh. In other words, the victims who had tefillin shel Rosh on, that's 40 sa'a. But the Brisa that says there were 120 sa'a boxes was referring to the shel Yad boxes found on the victims. And as explained above, every person wearing shel Rosh, there were three wearing shel Yad. In other words, you have, you know, they're wearing shel Yad, and then the group that's, you know, you're putting on the shel Yad, you're taking off shel Yad. So that's the, but it's a charifa set that the Gra has with that. All right, let me just do a few more lines, then I'll pause. So he said, wait, on the fifth line. So the Gra says, Amar about the, now this is a different incident. It's talking about time the Korban Bayit Rishon. It says, Amar Abasi, Arba'a Kav Moach, Nimtzu'u Al Evan Achat. There were four kav of like brain material found on one stone. Ula Mar Tish Kavin. Ula said nine kav. Amar Rav Kahana v'Timashil Bar Mari Maikra. What's the pasuk that alludes to this? Bat Babel Hashuda Ashrei Shushan Lach V'Gomer. Bat Babel that's being plundered. Like in other words, Babel destroyed us, but then they're being destroyed. So by Babylon Shtuda, Ashrei Sheshem Alach Begomer, I'm happy, we're happy that you're being repaid. Ashrei Sheyochez V'ni Peset Olai Chalaselam. We're fortunate that they're taking your kids and crashing them into the rock, but it loses the fact that they, Pistama, had done that to us, and that's why Mita Kenegamita, why that's why it's happening to them. Okay, who's the question comes to something we did so far? Which one say? In Beitar? I don't know. I don't know, but you don't know what it was. Yeah, and you don't know also how big the batim were, although they have some batim that they found from the time by Shani. But, all right, anyone want to say something, Michael, or what? No? Everybody good? Okay, let's go on. Now, with two dots. Benesioni kar musulim bapaz. So, the sons of Zion, who are so precious, musulim bapaz, compared to gold, paz is fine gold. Compared to fine gold, we'll see. By musulim bapaz, ilay medav mechapi bapiza, if it means that they would cover themselves with gold, v'amri dibe Reb Shila, and they sit in the basement of Reb Shila, tarti mitli istri, pisa, nachat l'ba'alma, two weights of an istra, Isra is a fella, like two slime or whatever the weight is of gold came down to the world. One in Rome and one in the rest of the world. So, I mean, Rome had a lot of gold and everybody else in the rest of the world was sharing the rest of the gold. I mean, they didn't have so much gold to cover themselves with gold. Ella, Shumaganin and Apaz Biyokan means that they would like shame the gold, but the Jewish boys were so beautiful, they put the gold to shame. In other words, it's between gold and the he says, initially, the Hashuvim people in Rome, they would have intimate relations with their, spouse with the signet ring, near them. In other words, the idea is like you're thinking about like a nice image, so you'll conceive a child that looks like that. But after they had conquered the Jews, Mike ben Israel, the Asri Parayu, they would take the Jewish children tied to their bedposts and have relations with the kids who are tied to the bedpost. So they'll be nearby, they'll think of them, and they'll, the thinking would go that they'll have kids like that. So at least that's the way Rabbi Levi would say. So one young boy said to the other one, he's in this situation, where is this written in the Torah, like this punishment, like the whole thing? The Amalei, the other one said, there's a pasuk, it says in Tochacha, that all these punishments that aren't written here. In other words, you have punishments, then some will not be written here. Is how far am I away from that spot? I'm not up that Chumash yet. Indicate a little bit, 1.5 columns. I don't know what the significance of that is, but if I get up to that pasuk, I won't need you, I can understand it. Now, Rabbi Shmuel, they have the sower from the town of Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel. My deceit, Eini Olal Nafshimi Kobin Oriri. My eye, like, mourns for my soul, from all the daughters of my town. Arbeo Batek Nesu Prak Beitar. There were 400 shuls in the city of Beitar. Each shul had 400, leverage, 400 teachers. And everyone had 400 kinokot. In other words, you have 400 shuls. Each shul's got 400 teachers. Each teacher has 400 students. But it means like it's a tremendously large sum. He says, when the enemy entered Beitar, so the kids would poke the enemy with their sticks. When the enemy overtook the city, and conquered them, they wrapped them in the Sifrei Torah and burnt them. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. So we're making right. It's Gemara Masechet Bracha. Right. So Michael was saying that Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara Masechet Bracha, says Rabbi Yochanan would hang out near the Shaarei Tefila, so the women would leave the mikvah, would look at him, and have kids like him. So that's a similar idea. So Tan Rabbanan. So there was an incident with Rabbi Shuben Hanania, who went to the, and when it says Tam Rabbi Yeshua in Shas, it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania. So he went to the city of Rome. So Amrulo Kinachaniyesh Beiras, when the Athenian Aim is over, they said there's one child who's in captivity here, presumably, Nayan, he's got nice eyes, so Rovi's good looking. His hair, his locks are lined up in curls. So Rabbi Shua ben Hanania goes and stands by the entranceway to the prison. Amar, and he replies the following pasuk: Mina tell him she saw Yaakov, he's filled with him. Who gave Yaakov to like plunder and Jewish people also for plunder? Anautotino, then the child inside answers the Amar, Hello Hashem. It's Hashem, because we sinned to him and we didn't want to follow his pathways and we didn't listen to his Torah. So Amar with the Chani Boshmor Harav Yisrael. So he says, I'm quite certain that this child is going to be Mora Harav Yisrael become a Chacham. So Relievers is saying, well, why he's finishing the Pasuk. How does he know he's going to be Mora Harav? So he's a lot of answers for this, but the answer that he was giving was that all he had to say was, Hello Hashem, Zuchatanuvo. In other words, he could have just said that. But you can't leave, in other words, you can begin a pasuk in the middle, but you can't end the pasuk when it's hanging. So from the fact that the child finished the whole pasuk, that shows like he's Talmud Chacham, that he knows like that you have to, you know, you have to finish the pasuk. So he says, Ha'avodah, he took like a slash from Shua. I'm not leaving here, so I redeem him whatever amount of money they designate. And then the Hebrew leaves was saying, like Morris said earlier, you know, you only give the value of the captive. You're not allowed to pay more than the value of the captive. So you have to come up with some, you know, exigent circumstance, either his life's danger or something like that, to justify, you know, paying all this money. So Amru, they said, they didn't leave there until they gave him, they redeemed him a lot of money. Lo Yumotim, within many days, Ashur Rabbi Israel. Umanu Yerushua ben Elisha. So he became more Rabbi Yisrael, that's Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. So Amar Rabbi Marav, Masib Novi Tosh Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, there was an incident with the daughter and son and the daughter of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Shinishbu Mishnei Adonim. They were taken captive by two different masters. So one day the slave owners are in the same place, Shmusing. Zelmer, Yishli Evachin, Kiyopi Abukolam. One says, I've got like a male slave, he's the most beautiful, you know, person you've ever seen in the world. I've got the most beautiful, you know, slave woman. So Amru, they said, you know what? Why don't we marry them both, link, you know, match them both together? Then we'll split the offspring. Must be, we'll have beautiful offspring. He says, so they put them both in the same room. So the boy or the man, he sat in one corner. Zuya Shrubaker and Zabitza and his sister, though it was up and else to him, was in the other corner. Zomer and Ikoyim ben Konoim Gedolim. He says, I'm the son, I'm a Kohen, the son of Konoim Gedolim. And I should have relations with some Shifka. He says, Zoromer and Ikoyim ben Konoim Gedolim. And I say, La Evan. He says, the other one says, I'm a daughter of Konoim Gedolim. I should have relations with an Evan. Uvahu Kolai, they both cried the whole night. When dawn came, he was there, said they recognized each other. But now Fluzel is there, they like fell on one another, but with a groan, and Shanish until they died. This is following him, Kone Yermia, considering them, Yermia, the prophet Jeremiah, like laments, Al Elan Ibochia, for these I cry, Ainian your demine, my eyes, like, you know, like filled with like tears, you know. I didn't get this 100%, but Robert Leibowitz was saying today, I think he was saying, like, why did they cry at the end? They wake up in the morning and then they see each other. So why are they crying? They should be happy. So what? Yeah. So he was saying some shot that they like regretted that like they had each disparaged the other one. That, in other words, like during the night, he said, she says, like, this effort. And he was saying, it's like a Musa Haskell, you know, teaching kids how to refer to their siblings and things like that. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. It says, Amrei Shlakish, Masabi Shachad, Safa Bapanil Shema. There was an incident with one woman, and her name was Safnat Bapanil. Safnat, she called Sophie Miafia. Safnat was everybody, like, Sophie means to look, gaze. Everybody would gaze at her beauty. Bapanil, he touched the pony doll, Shemesh, Lutzai, Lutnim. And she's Bapanil, she was the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, who served in the inner sanctum of the base of Mikdash. So it means Safna Bapanil was her sobriquet, and it was, but I assume that it was close for that. So he says, she's Alel Ba Shabai Kulalaila. In other words, so she was taken captive, and her captor, you know, molested her the whole night. The next morning, he dressed her with seven, like, cloaks or whatever, and brought her out to sell. One guy who was very ugly came. I don't know who are, aren't supposed to say ugly, but who could also be, like, debased, you know, like, he's, like, you know, like either way would fit here. So Amar lo, he says, I understand you have this woman for sale. I want to see, what I'm getting. I really want to see. So Amar lo, Reka, he says, ah, you're like, you boor. I'm telling you, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. So Amar lo, Afapichain, say, I hear, but I want to see. So Hivshita Shisha Chalukim. So he, the slave master, takes off from the seven, you know, cloaks. It was six of the seven cloaks. And the seventh one, she rips off herself. And then she rolls in the dirt. And Afer is ash, but here it's dirt. And a relievist is saying Afer Mikla means like ashes, but Afer can mean dirt. But here the article said it's mentioning Afer because Pasuk is going to mention Afer. So Amrala Fana Ribono Shalom. So she says that Tfilah, she says Ribono Shalom, Malin Lo Chasta, if you didn't have Rachmanis on us, why don't you have, like, you know, concern for your name? In other words, like, we're your people. And so your name is, like, being brought down as a result of all of this. So, and Rashi says, where is your strength? Concerning her,
I'm so sorry. Can you speak into the screen? Because we don't hear your voice. It's very hard. To see you and not hear you.
Can you hear me now?
They're much better. Thank you.
Okay. All right. 1 second. All right. Please mute yourself. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So he says, "Valea konin Yirmiyah, concerning her, Yirmiyah laments, Barami, like daughter of my people, chigri sak, wear sackcloth, with palshiba afer, roll in the dirt. Aval evil yachirasilach, make like a private mourning. Mispei tamarim, like a bitter." Eulogy, keep it on because suddenly, like, the plunderer is going to come upon us. So she says, Alecha lo ne'amar. In other words, Yirmiyah, the prophet Jeremiah is repeating the words of God. And God is saying that you should do all these things, keep it on aleinu, because suddenly the plunderer is going to come on us. Who's us? So he says, Alecha lo ne'amar. It doesn't say on you. Meaning Hashem isn't saying on you that the plunder is going to come. He says, Ela aleinu, if yachol, alai v'alecha ba'ashodeh. In other words, like, it's as if, like, if yachol, Hashem is saying, like when you're being plundered, I'm also, you know, being plundered. It's like Hashem is with us. Imo enochi b'tzara. All right, let's just wrap it up. Now, so we're 8 lines from the bottom. Am Rav Yirmiyah Rav, ma'idati v'ashu geber ubeito, v'ish v'nach lato. Says, what does it mean that they'll oppress a man and his household, the house usually his wife? Beish v'nachlato, a man and his Yerusha. Ma'aseh b'damachat shetanana b'eshet rabo. There was an incident with a person who, like, you know, was interested in the wife of his teacher. Shuyu denagri haba. He was a carpenter's apprentice. So it's not, you know, Torah Rebbe. It's he was teacher, his carpenter teacher. And so he, the student, is interested in the teacher's wife, which doesn't sound good. He says, Hamachad hustrach levot. So once the master, the teacher, needed money. He says, Amarlo, Shigarla eshticha itzli, send your wife to me, ve'alvena, and I'll give her the money. Shigera eshto itzla. So he sends his wife to him. Shahayim ashtoshiyamim. So she spends 3 days there. Not good. Right? So he says, Kadamu ba'aslo. So then the teacher, the carpenter, comes to the student and says, Amarlo, where is my wife? I sent her to you. I haven't seen her in 3 days. So Amarlo, so the student says, Ani patartila alter. I let her go immediately. She came, I gave her the money, goodbye. Shamati, and I heard, when I heard the young men are, like, you know, playing around with her, like molesting her on the derech. Amarlo, ma'aseh. He says, what should I do? Amarlo, imatasha me'ela atzati girsha. So if you listen to my aid, so you should divorce the wife. Now the student, he's interested in the wife, obviously. He says, Amar lo k'tuba tamruba. He says, her k'tuba, I can't bear the financial cost of her k'tuba. Amar lo ani al v'cha. So he says, I'll loan you the money for that. Retain la k'tuba ta, and give her the k'tuba. So I'll forward the money to you. So Amad Zebegirsha, so he divorced the wife. Halachu nasad, and the student married the wife. So his old, you know, Rebbe in carpentry divorces his wife, and the student now marries the wife. Came and shikiz mano below yavu leporo. When the time came to repay the debt, the master, the teacher, didn't have money to pay. Amarlo, the student said to him, Rova seimi b'chopcha, why don't you come? You work for me, you work off your debt. Vayuhem yoshvim v'ochlim v'shotim. So the student and his new wife, which is the previous wife of the master, are sitting and drinking. And he, the former teacher, is like serving them. He says, and tears were dropping from his eyes, and falling into their cups. That moment, like the Gzardin was sealed for Klal Yisrael, means that people knew about it. I don't know if it was like typical that time, but the Chatem Gzardin. But Amri law, and some say, some say that it was because they were both Mazana with the same woman. That's it. But either way, it was not a good situation. Okay, that's the end of the Kamsa Bar Kamsa Sugis. And now you have it. This has worked out nicely. We began on Monday, completed Thursday. Now you have a lot of Gemaras. You can Kazer over on Tisha B'Av. You can learn these Gemaras on Tisha B'Av, even though you can't study other Torah. Who's your questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I said so far? All right, we're going to move on. Okay? All right, now we're back to our regularly scheduled program. All right, vacation's over. Now, two lines from the bottom. So if you remember, we learned through different stages here with the Sikari Kon. Sikari Kon is a non-Jew who sees the land of the Jew. So we said that during the war with Titus, so the Jew says, take the land, don't kill me, and he means it. And so the Sikari Kon has good title. But then after the war, things improved a little bit, and then there were different stages. So the first stage was that if the Jew says, take this land, don't kill me, the Jew does not mean that. So the Sikari Kon does not have a good title. So the halacha in the Mishnah, the Mishnah Rishona is, if another Jew, let's say Reuven was the original landowner, and the Sikari Kon was Tiberius, and then Shimon wants to buy the Black Acre from Tiberius. Black Acre is the field that Reuven previously owned. So if he buys it first from Tiberius, and then he buys it from Reuven, he doesn't have a good title. Because we say, Reuven was only selling it, he didn't want to start up with Tiberius, or he felt like, I'm better off having to deal with Shimon, I don't have to deal with Tiberius, I'm better off with Shimon, but he doesn't intend to give title. But if Shimon buys it first from Reuven, and then he buys from Tiberius, then he's got a good title, okay? So if he, lakach min ha-sikari kon, b'chazar v'lakach, you know, what does it say? B'chazar v'lakach, mibal abayit, so he says mecho batel, but mibal abayit, b'chazar v'lakach, b'sikari kon mecho kayam. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Two lines from the bottom. Lakach min ha-sikari kon v'chulei, so amarav lo shanu ila da amar lo lechazek v'pnei. So we said, again, in the first part, so if Shimon buys from Tiberius, and then Shimon buys from Reuven, Shimon does not have a good title from Reuven. So Rav qualifies that. That's only when Reuven says to him, Lechazeku kinei. Don't go do a kinyan on it. It was like, now, God, there are parats. You know, you build a fence around the property. You do, you know, masse kinyan. He says, aval b'shtar kana. But if Reuven takes the time out to execute a shtar, which Rashi takes as something that he doesn't have to do, but if he does that, then all bets are off. Then that's a siman that he is conveying good title. Shmuel says a shtar alone is not enough. You need a shtar, but you need Reuven. If Reuven makes akrayas, means he promises like title insurance. He promises that if anybody comes and seizes the property from you, I'll make you whole. You know, if there's some defect in the title, then under those circumstances, Shimon has good title. So let's look at Rashi. He says, four lines from the bottom. Kani, the kuli ha'lo habalim the mevad. He loved the zabnele mecher gemur midad. he wouldn't bother writing the shtar unless he was giving good title. Now, so Rav says, if he writes the shtar, you're home free. Shmuel says, if he writes the shtar and writes achrayas in the shtar, you're home free. Turn the page, top line on Menachem and Beis. Everybody with me? So the Gemara says, Tanya kavat to Shmuel. We learn a brisa that ostensibly seems to support the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel is the one who says, you need the shtar and the achrayas. And here's what the brisa says. Rav Shmuel ben Elazar Omer. Now, if you remember in the Mishnah, there was a sushtel, there was a similar halacha by a woman with her property. So the way Rashi learned it, it was the property that had been designated for her ksuba. And the way Rashi learns that the husband cannot convey title to that property without the wife signing off on it. And then, else Rashi learns, this is where the article had it, but if she brought in Nichsei Tzon Barzel and he wants to sell some of that property, she also has to sign off on it. So here, Tani Kamat Shmuel, Shimon Lazar Omer, Lakach Min HaYisha, V'chazar V'lakach Min HaYish, Mecho Kayam. If a man, he wants to buy block acre, there's the block acre, the property that's designated for Ksuba, if he purchased it from the woman and then buys from the husband, Mecho Kayam, that's a good sale. Min HaYish, V'chazar V'lakach Min HaYisha, Mecho Batel. But if he buys it from the husband first and then from the woman, we don't think the woman actually intended to give title to Blackacre. She just doesn't want to make waves with her husband. He says, Ach tiftovlo achrayat, unless she writes achrayas in it. So it sounds like that's an equivalent situation with R.C. Kari Cohn, but here the Bryson says that the buyer is not in good shape unless the woman writes achrayas, which we think it means that she's, you know, guaranteeing title to it. So name it to be to the Rab. So this Bryson is so strong. So it's a wonderful raya for Shmuel. Should we say that Rab is all up Kishlach? So Amalach Rav, Rab would say to you, Mayach Rayat Nami Shtar. What does the Tana mean when he says Achrayas? It means like responsibility. That's what the Tana is calling the Shtar. Let's look at Rashi, the top line, Shtar. Below Achrayat Nechasim, it doesn't mean the way we normally use Achrayat Nechasim. Ela Ashtachtovlo Shtar means that when the woman writes a Shtar, that she's not going to renege on the deal anymore, that's like something you could, you know, rest your laurels on. So that's the way Rab explains the Brisa. And indeed, the halacha follows Rab with this. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Who? Say again what? I mean, he goes to the Jew first, and then he goes to the Sikari Cohen. Yeah, so then that would be a rough situation. But the presumption is that the Sikari Cohen wants to get rid of the property. That's the presumption. But I mean, no, it means like this, that in other words, like he read the real estate pages, and the Sikari Cohen is advertising the field, and it's for sale, but he's going to the Jew first. That's what it means, okay? All right, let's see back on the Gemara. All right, now, if you remember, then we said there was a later stage. That's stage one. Then stage two, so it means that if he would buy from the Sikari Cohen and then he would buy from the Jew, then the Jew could show up at any time and say, give me back my property because you didn't have good title for it. Says now, then the later stage is that it says, the Mishnah says, Beitishlach Aramru, that when you purchase from the Sikari Cohen, you give a quarter to the original owner. And then if he's not in a position to purchase it, all right, so the second stage is I'm going to buy from the Sikari Cohen, but then I'm going to give a quarter, and we'll clarify what the quarter is, but I'm going to give that to the original owner, and then I'm okay. So Shimon wants to buy Blackacre, and the Sikari Cohen has it, but he took it from Reuven. So Shimon's going to buy from the Sikari Cohen and give, let's say, a quarter of the purchase price to Reuven. Okay, so let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, now, this Gemara is connected to the Gemara in Bava Batra in Cheskat Abatim. The third parak in Bava Batra, it's all about if a person, has been on a piece of property, let's say Shimon has been on Reuven's property for 3 years or more, and then at that point, Reuven can't get him off the property if Shimon has a taina. He can't just be on the property as the taina. He says, you sold it to me. I don't have the shtar mechira anymore because more than 3 years have passed. And I've been here for 3 years. So if during that period of time, Reuven, who was the original Mara Kama, the original owner, if Reuven doesn't protest, so he can kiss title away, it's Lehitro. I wouldn't use it that way. But I would say he's established his right to the property. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara. So Tan Rabbanan, Lakach Menasi Karikon. Now, this is getting a little tricky here. Now, Reuven is the original owner, and then Tiberius is the Sikari Kohn. Shimon purchases it from Tiberius. He says, Lakach Menasi Sikari Kohn, Ba'achla Shlosh Shanim B'fei Ba'alim. Then Shimon stayed on the property for 3 years, and, you know, he was openly and notoriously using the property and harvesting. V'chazer mechara la'acher. And then Shimon sells it to Levi. He says, "Ein lebalei malakech sheni klum." So the Tana of the Brisa says, Reuven, the original Gemara Kama, has no claim against Levi. In other words, he's entitled to have a quarter should have been given to him. In other words, if he claims that, but he's dead in the water if he goes against Levi. So the Gemara says, "Hey Chidan, what's the case that the Brisa is teaching me?" Now, presumably, since the Brisa sets up the fact pattern that there was a later purchaser, means some halacha pertains to later purchaser that would not pertain with Shimon. So he says here, Echidami, Itaka Tayin Ba'amar Minach Zavna, if Levi says, what are you coming to me? Shimon purchased, he paid you the money. I feel Risho Nami, but then that's a claim that even Shimon could have asserted. Right. The quarter of the amount. Right. He says, excuse me. Okay, so we're in the middle of a shiur, okay? Okay, now, he says, Eid katayin ba'amar, Eid lo katayin ba'amar minach zavna. So if he doesn't say that Shimon purchased it from you, he says, apilu sheni nami lo, then Levi is going down the tubes. In other words, the Brisa seems to say Levi is okay because he has a line of argument he can make. But what argument is it that Levi could make that Shimon couldn't make? In other words, it seems to be, like we say, the Zalbazach. So Amrav Shesha, Leolam, Delo Katoinle. He says that he doesn't make any, Levi doesn't make any taina. Tonim Leoresh Tonim Lokech. It means that Levi, in other words, Reuven sues Levi and Bezdin. And Levi doesn't have any title. Levi doesn't say, I know that Shimon paid you the money or anything like that. But we, the Bezdin, will make the argument on behalf of Levi. We're going to make the argument on behalf of Levi and say, most likely, Shimon paid you this money. Or, in the alternative, if Shimon died and he is your Shim, we're going to say, most likely, their father paid you the money. That's like an Anan Sade. He says, let's take a look. He's saying, but with Shimon himself, with Shimon, we wait till he makes the taina. So if Shimon makes this taina, and he says, I've been here 3 years, that's it. But with Levi, even if Levi doesn't make the taina, we would make the taina on his behalf. All right, let's do the Rashi on this. We'll do quickly. So around the 10th narrow line of Rashi, Tonim Leoresh for Tom Lokeach. Everybody with me? Halokeach mi Sikari Kohn. If a person purchased Shimon, purchased the Black Acre from the Sikari Kohn, but Rish Labanav, and then he bequeathed to his children, Ba'ach L'Shloshanim, and he, you know, occupied the premises for at least 3 years, Omechara L'Acher, or he sold it to somebody, Ba'ach L'Shloshanim, was also on the property for 3 years, Ubabal and Lotzim Imenu, and now the original owners, the Mara Kama Reuven, shows up. And he, Levi, doesn't know enough to say that, you know, the my predecessor in interest, you know, purchased it from you. The Bezdin will argue on behalf of the Yoresh, on behalf of Lokeach. He says, Tanezu, Harishon Kanimcha. So even according, there's an opinion in Bava Batra that we wouldn't make a tain on behalf of a lokeach or yoresh. Hachamodi taninale. Here they would agree you do. The stamman zavin mi sikari kon. because the Gemara takes it that the typical person, the typical Jew who buys from the Sikari Kohen, i.e. Shimon, may the Yada, he knows what he has to do, he's not going to give money. It means that we have a presumption that he paid the money. That's what the Gemara is saying. All right, that's the best I have. Okay, I'm going to move on instead of these questions. Everybody with good? What's up? So in other words, the Gemara takes it, if I have a taina and I've been there for 3 years, you're dead in the water. That's what the Gemara takes it. No. If I have a taina, if I say I paid you and I've been on the property 3 years and you haven't said boo in the 3 years, then you're dead in the water. So that's what he's saying. So here, the person, in other words, Shimon, if he's been there 3 years, he's got the taina, I paid you, I mean, 3 years. Levi may not know to say this taina. But the chiddush is that the Bezdin will make the taina on behalf of Levi. That's the idea. So I need years of chazaka and the taina. So here the Bezdin is going to get involved and then make the taina for him. Okay, and for Levi. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. All right, now, so then the Gemara said the final halakha was that if you buy from the Sikari Kohen, the final halakha was that. That if the property's been the Sikari Kohen for 12 months, you're home free. He says, but you still have to give a revia to the original owner. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Haba Machman Chov Machman An Parot. So Sikari Kohen is the goy, says, I'm going to kill you unless you give me the property, and the Jew gives him the property. That's the case of Sikari Kohen. Here the Bryce speaks about a different situation when the goyim are seizing property. But it's not quite a Sikari Kohen case. If the goy, Tiberius, seized Reuven's property in satisfaction of a debt, Tiberius was lent Reuven money, or he just helter-skelter, took the property without any claim. Ein bo mishum Sikari Kohen, meaning there's no halacha of the Sikari Kohen, meaning if now Shimon buys the property from Tiberius, Reuven can come and say, give me back my property. In other words, there's no presumption that Reuven intended to convey title to Tiberius. In other words, the Sikari Kohen there was, but here not. He says, so Ba'an Parot Atzma Shrichash Sheshnem Sar Chodesh. We don't understand this line. In the case of An Parot, he has to be with Tiberius for 12 months. So the Gemara says, Ba'amr Ein Ba Mishum Sikari Kohen. We only have 12 months. Don't do the Sikari Kohen. Hachi Kamar Sikari Kohen Atzma, if it would be a case of Sikari Kohen, Shrichash Sheshnem Sar Chodesh. It has to be with a Sikari Kohen for 12 months. And again, the Mishnah says, the final halacha is, that if he has it for 12 months, he can convey good title. Okay, but you still have to give a revia to the original owners. All right? So you could buy it from him, but you do it at your peril. He says, in other words, the true owner can come, the true owner can come, and then he can take it, but he'd have to pay you for whatever you pay for. Okay, now let's see back on the Gemara. All right, now Amar Rav Yosef Nakinan. Rav Yosef says our Masorah is Ein An Parot B'Bavel. We think it means that in Bavel nobody seizes, no goyim sees property from Jews without reason. So the Gemara says V'Kachazin D'Ikhi. What do you mean? We see that happens all the time. Ela Ema Ein Din An Parot B'Bavel. Meaning there's no din of An Parot. Meaning we said that if a goy seizes the Jew's property, that he steals it, so then the goy cannot convey a good title to a buyer. So that din's not applied in Bavel. So my time, why not? Came into Ika Bay Davar below Azil Kabil. There's a court system in Bavel where the Jews have like access to the courts, and they could avail themselves of the courts. And since this Jew Reuven, whose property was seized, didn't do that, Ema Chuli Achil. So the presumption is he's Mochel. In other words, the guy seized the property. For whatever reason, Reuven didn't say boo. So for whatever reason, Reuven was Mochel, because he has an avenue to, you know, make assert his rights. All right, now, Gidl Bar Re'iloi, Kabil Ara Betaska Mimnei Baga. So here, it's sort of in a situation where they have, people are in a valley together. The king assesses a certain amount of taxes against all the people in the valley. In other words, I want $50,000 this year from the people in the valley. You figure it all out together, valley people. And so they divvy it up amongst themselves, and then they give the money to the king's, you know, tax collector. So Gidl Bar Re'iloi, so one of the people took a hike. One of the people in the valley took a hike, and he wasn't paying the taxes. So the other people said, you know, if you want to take it, you know, pay the taxes, we're good. So Gidl Bar Re'iloi, Kabilei Ara B'taska Mini Baga, Akim Yayv Zuzek Glachnim. But what Gidl Bar Re'iloi was, he paid not only this year's taxes, he paid the taxes for the next 3 years. He got to jump the gun with that. L'sop Atam Arvata Kamoi. Then the true owner has showed up. So the Amrule, they said to him, and here, the art school had like its owners. I don't know, art school had like an owner. Anyway, so Amrule, they said to Gidl Bar Re'iloi, Shat Kamai to Diahavet Achlat. He says, okay, fine. Year one, you paid the taxes and you got the props, fine, showing that we're good with that. So, but Hashtan on Yavina, not Achlina. But now we want to pay and we want to have the props. And so, you know, see you around, Charlie. He already paid. So after the coming to Rav Papa, so they came before Rav Papa for a type of din Torah. So Sabar lemichtav lay tirfa abnei baga. So Rav Papa was thinking that he should write a shtar to authorize Gidl Bar Re'iloi to collect the money from all the people in the valley. In other words, I know there's some like large sum of money that they pay each year, and he'll now have a right to collect, you know, the other taxes from them. He says Amali Rav Huna Bar Re'iloi Yishul Rav Papa. So who Rav Shuz said, Rav Papa, Im Kain, Asit Sikari Kohen. You're going to treat Gidl Bar Re'iloi the same as somebody who buys from the Sikari Kohen, meaning that the final halacha is that the Sikari Kohen has had it for 12 months. The Sikari Kohen conveys good title, and Mamela, so his title is assured. And so here, you're saying that this Gidl Bar Re'iloi, that he paid the money, so he has to be protected from his purchase. And you're making him like the same, in other words, with the same as you're buying from the Sikari Kohen. So you, like you paid the taxes, you're in the same sort of secure situation. Right. But it's not the same. In other words, one was buying a piece of property, one was just paying the taxes. So he says here, he says, Ella Amar Rav Huna Bar Re'iloi Yehoshua. Rav Huna Bar Re'iloi Yehoshua said, Yinich Matav Karnati. I think he gambled and he lost his gamble, and too bad, so sad. And that's an expression. He left his money on the horns of a deer. I think they say one pshat is that the deer with the horns, what did they molt or whatever, and then they fall off in the same way, but it's gone. So that's the way the Gemara is taking it. Okay, any questions, comments to us on anything we did so far? Okay, let's go further. Now, on the second line in the Gemara, the second wide line. So Zumishna Rishona. So the Mishnah Rishona we went through is that if you buy from the Sikari Kohen and then you buy from the Reuven, you're in trouble. But if you buy from Reuven, you buy the Sikari, you're in good shape. This is Beitin Shalach Reim Amru, and the subsequent Besdin said, Halokech min the Sikari Kohen, between the Balan Reviyah. You know, you just pay the Sikari Kohen, and you'll take a quarter, and we have to clarify what the quarter is, you'll give to the Marakama, and then everybody will be good. So Amarav, Revia Karka or Revia Bamaud, but on the side he says, I thought it was clearer. I don't know who Revia Bakarka Shu Revia Bamaud. Rav says that we see how much money, again, Reuben was the Marakama, Tiberius is the Sikari Kohen, and Shimon is the sort of the new buyer. So if Shimon paid, Amman is 100 zuz. If Shimon paid 100 zuz for Blackacre, he's going to give a quarter of that, 25 zuz, to Reuven. Why? Because the way Rav figures it, the true value of Blackacre was 125 zuz. And so the Sikari Kohen cut the price by a fifth. in essence by a fifth. So he's gonna pay a quarter of what he paid, which is basically, you know, he's gonna give to the to Reuven, or in the alternative, he'll give Reuven the equivalent amount of property. In other words, 25 zuz worth of the property, which would be a fifth of the property. In other words, the true value of the property is 125 zuz. He paid 100 zuz. So he's either going to give 25 zuz to Reuven, because that was the discount that the goy that we're figuring cuts the price because he's eager to unload the property. He doesn't want the property. He wants, you know, Seesbury wants money. So he cut the price from 125 to 100. So he'll give either Reuven 25 zuz, which is a quarter of what he paid, or he'll give Reuven equivalent property equal to the value of 25 zuz, which in essence would be one-fifth of the property. Everybody got that? Okay, now, he says, Ushmul amar revi bakarka shein shlishma. Shmuel says no, that what Reuven gives, what Shimon gives Reuven, is if I look at the square acreage of the property, he'll give one-quarter of the property he'll give to Reuven. One quarter of the property he'll give to Reuven, or the value of that, which he figures is shlish b'maot, is a third of the money that he paid. How so? So Shmuel figures that if the person paid 100 zuz, the fair market value was 133 and a third zuz, and the goy cuts the price by a third. So he's paying 100 zuz now. So he's of the 100 zuz, he's going to give one quarter of the square acreage of the property, which is equivalent to a third of the purchase price. Again, let's go over again. If the purchase price was 100 zuz, so if you divide 100 zuz into three parts, so it's 33 and a third. So if I add 33 and a third, the true value of the property, the way Shmuel figures, was 133 and a third zuz. So I'm going to give Reuven either 33 and a third zuz, which is the discount that the goy gave me, or I'm going to give him land, or I'm going to give him land, which is a quarter of the property, which is going to be 33 and a third zuz. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. So it comes out in the end is the goy cutting it by like a fifth of what it was originally, or by a third. That's basically the way it's coming out. Let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara
says, may I ask a question?
Wait, two lines. So now in the fourth line, the Mike Mifligi. So what's the point of dispute between? So the idea is that Shimon is entitled to buy a piece of property, but Shimon's not entitled to a windfall. So Shimon got a discounted price from the Sikari cone. So fairness dictates he should pay at least, like, the difference between the true value of the property and the discounted price he should give to Reuven. That's the broad approach. So now he says here, what's the point of dispute between Rav and Shmuel? Mar savar nechei revi azavin. So Shmuel holds that the person will discount it by a quarter. He's thinking by a quarter means, in other words, if it's a third of the price, it comes out to be a quarter of what it was originally. In other words, it was the true value was 133 and a third, so he's taking a quarter off the true value, so he sells it for 100 zuz. Umar savar nechum shezavin, and Rav holds a person, the true value was 125, he takes off a fifth. All right, what do you want to say, Fern?
I understand that the machloket has to do with what aspect is windfall. But does anyone talk about whether the third, the fourth, the fifth, whatever, comes close to making Reuven whole, given that he was given his life back too? Is it that his life was worth X?
No, again, right. Like Yosef's saying, like there are a couple of stages in the Mishnah. So initially they said, you know, Reuven has a taina, Reuven can get his property back. But then they were concerned, apparently, that, like, you know, they wanted Jews to buy the property and they wanted Eretz Yisrael to be in the hand of Jews. So so if nobody's buying the property, you know, it's not going so well. So they said that that they could buy from the Sikari Kohen. Sikari Kohen could give a good title, but you know, give this amount to Reuven. And that's it's not going to make Reuven perfect, but it'll help him somewhat. No. I mean, you're with the Sikari Kohen, you know, it's like this guy is ready to kill you. I don't think you're going anywhere with him. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, let's just wrap up the daf. Let's all focus. Now, the Gemara says, Meipei. So we're asking a kasha now against Shmuel. Again, Shmuel says we're going to discount the price by a quarter. So if the original price was 133 and a third, the seller, will take off a quarter of that, which would be 33 and a third, and sell it for 100 zuz. So Meipei. So the Brisa says, Zu Mishnah Rishona. The Brisa is elaborating what we learned in our Mishnah. Zu Mishnah Rishona. The Mishnah Rishona was the Sikari Kohen is not giving good title. Beit Din Shel Achrein Amru, Halokeach Min HaSikari Kohen. Later, Besen said, if Shimon purchases from Tiberius, Notein LeBaalim Revia, he gives the Baalim one quarter, and we saw the Machloket, Viad Baalim Al Yona. And the Baalim are in the driver's seat. How so? Ratsubakarka no lim, if they want land, he gives them land. Ratsubamau no, if they want money, we give them money. We do that for them. Eimatai is manshein biyadam likach. That's only if they, the Marakama, Reuven, is not in a position to purchase the property on his own. But yesh biyadam likach, but if they're in a position to buy the property, in kodman l'chol adam. In other words, we should sit back and let them work out the deal with the Sikari Kohen. This looks like even within the year. So yeah, it says Rebbe. So Rebbe Hoshi Beit Din Benimnu Shimsha Tabefni Sikari Kohen Shteim Asar Chodesh. Then Rebbe convened the Beit Din and said that if Sikari Kohen has it for 12 months, Kol Kodam Likach Zachah. Whoever buys it has got it. Aval Notein LeBalim Reviya BeKarka or Reviya BeMaut. He has to give the Balim either quarter of the Karka or Reviya BeMaut. So focusing on Reviya B'ma'od, so the Gemara takes it that Shmuel took it that I'm going to give him. One second, hold on a second, not working out. One second. Wait, if I purchase it for 100 zuz, I'm giving him a third, right? So Shmuel says that if the purchaser paid 100 zuz for the property, he's going to give a third of that amount to Reuven, which is really a quarter of the original amount, but he's giving him a third. So he says that's what Shmuel said. Reviya b'kar kashin shlish b'mao. Here says Reviya b'mao. So Amar Bashi. So that's a kash against Shmuel. So Amar Bashi hitanya hila harsh b'mao liado. So Rashi says no. It means a third, but it means after Reuven has received the 33 and a third, we can look at the whole picture and say it's like really a quarter. In other words, his 33 and a third, you know, plus, you know, the original 100 zuz that was paid, so it's a quarter of the total gross amount, but it's a third of the, so we were able to deflect the question against Shmuel. Okay, now, what? Wait, say again slow, go. You mean if the Marakama comes and gets the property? This is the, what can I tell you? This is the land. What can I tell you now? All right. Let me just do story, and that will be it for today. Now, in the town of Dvinsk, now Dvinsk is two famous people in Dvinsk. One is the Or Sameach, Remeir Simuk of Dvinsk, and the other is the That's it, the Ragged Chaver. Rav Yosef Rosen, the Ragged Chaver. So he says, now Dvinsk was in Latvia. Dvinsk was in Latvia, right over the border from Lithuania. So he says, in the town of Dvinsk, a certain member of the Or Sameach minion arrived without a coat. Since the man always wore a fur in the winter, Mayor Simcha inquired why he had none. It was the winter, it's in Latvia, kind of cold there. You know, it's much like, if you look at the latitude, it's like north of the 49th parallel. Was north of like being at least like equivalent to Maine, and he works in the middle of winter without his fur coat. So he says, "Where's your coat?" So he replied, "Every year I take a loan from a certain wealthy man here in Dvinsk. Use my overcoat as collateral. Until now, I have always had enough business to repay my yearly loan before the event of winter. Unfortunately, this year business is not as good, and I can't yet afford to repay the entire sum. The Kavir is not willing to relinquish my coat until every cent is repaid, so I am forced to go out in the cold without it. The Mayor Simcha was clearly very upset. Summon him to a din Torah before me, he recommended. When the two arrived, Rameir Simcha asked the Gemir, why haven't you returned the coat? I gave him a loan, the Othman replied. Why should I relinquish the coat until it is repaid to the penny? I don't intend to compromise. According to letter law, I am right. The poor man said, I will repay it all when business picks up, God willing. At the moment, business is slow, but I am in dire need of my coat. Rameir Simcha turned to the wealthy man and said, in Gittin Daphne Lechet, you find that Shulya the carpenter told his teacher slander about his wife. In other words, he says, the teacher agreed to divorce her, but couldn't afford her ksuba. Shulya offered to lend his teacher the required amount of money, and the teacher accepted it and divorced his wife. The student immediately married her. When the time came to repay the loan, the teacher could not recover the sum, so the student took him as a worker to pay off the loan. Shulya would eat and drink with his teacher's former wife, while the poor man waited on them with tears rolling down his cheeks the entire time. In other words, he's saying that, like, the student, like, actually, Shulya the Nagari is not a name of a person. Shulya the Nagari is an apprentice. I don't know why he uses his name Shulya. Shulya means the apprentice. I don't know what he was Shulya here. But it means the apprentice was just you know, asserting his rights in terms of the law. He says, the Gemara tells us that as a result of this cruelty, the form based mikdash was sealed. Rav concluded, you see the result of insistence to follow the strict letter of the law without mercy, tremendous bizarre din. Rameer Simcha's heartfelt words made a deep impression on the Gavir, and he immediately returned the coat. Okay, 1 minute. I don't know. You see, every case is different. You gotta judge the situation. All right. 1 second. 1 second.